Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Tonight, my guest is Raven Kiefer. Before I bring him on, I want to remind you to subscribe to Forbidden Knowledge News on Odyssey. We're always available on all popular podcast platforms. And definitely check us out on Rockfin, where you get all our premium content, regular shows, and all the amazing premium content from all the creators on Rockfin. And finally, check out the great products at Ascent Nutrition. They're an amazing all-natural health and nutrition company. Not only do they have supplement categories like vitality and energy, healthy metabolism and detoxification, you're going to see brain and focus, intuition and consciousness. I've been taking their nootropic focus, and man, my focus and attention is off the charts. If you're ready to optimize your meat suit, check out Ascent Nutrition. Just click that link in the description. Tonight, I want to welcome Raven Kiefer. He is a researcher and contributor to both Wikipedia and Indie Media at their start, and an expose writer from mid-1980s through today. He has two master's degrees, a doctorate in religious studies, bachelor's degree in humanities with emphasis on sociology and physiology, and several associate's degrees in various fields. He currently has 23 books in print and is a lifetime researcher that contributes on numerous YouTube channels, content creators, and independent reporters. Raven, welcome back. How you doing tonight?
Doing well. And by the way, we're not selling my books. We're just having fun tonight.
That's right. Always. It's always good having you on. Tonight, I thought we could take an even deeper look into the occult and the paranormal links, the connections to the UFO and ET phenomenon, and also where the mainstream could be directing our collective culture and consciousness with everything being carefully revealed, it seems, by our government and the media, who, of course, always have our best interests in mind and would never lie to us, right, Raven?
Yeah, they don't lie, ever.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the problem that...
Go ahead.
We'll just start with the media. I mean, these leaks from CIA operatives and funded by the CIA, people missed this thing about the reveal that's supposed to be coming up in June. It said it's going to be revealed to the Senate. It didn't say anything about us. There's a big
right,
difference.
Yeah. You're right about that. Yeah, we're probably going to get some, redacted information, and the tidbits that are juicy are only going to be for them, of course.
Well, I think they're going to give us juicy tidbits, but, you know, a real good example is the Navy footage. There's two different sets going around right now, but the one is a Navy Phantom. It's a unmanned aerial vehicle. You can find pictures of them on top of aircraft carriers. They've got some kind of a new, a lot of people are saying it's some kind of a electric shielding. I don't know that part of it, but they do look pretty amazing, and they've got some serious speed to them. A buddy of mine says, that's a Phantom in that footage. And I said, yeah, I've seen them too. Somebody said that they have an electromagnetic type shielding. That would be interesting to see.
Yeah, that would definitely be interesting to see. And I know, you know, we've some of the footage they've shown us, I recognize the TR-3B, and some. Yes. I'm sure that many of these things that we're seeing are ours, drones, technology that probably they're itching to roll out that we've yet to see. That I think that may be one of the smaller reasons why this is all happening now. It is a good excuse for these guys to roll out some of their toys.
Well, you know, somebody leaked footage from a runway out. I swear it was in the desert. I couldn't tell you if it was Groom Lake or if it was 29 Palms, but they leaked footage of a black triangle with a ladder up to it, and the person on the ladder looked tiny compared to the aircraft itself. Now, who leaked that footage? Was it legitimate? It was on a runway or off the side of a runway, and it had a set of stairs going up to it, and it was one of them giant black triangles. You know, we've been seeing those since the late 90s.
Yeah, yeah, we've definitely been seeing the triangles for a very long time, and I think it's kind of insulting to a lot of us in this community that, you know, we know what has been shown as alien craft, you know, has been our own governments. We've been seeing this stuff leaked for a long time. I'm just wondering if they think we're just that stupid, or they just don't care because they know the majority doesn't know anything about it, you know?
Well, you know, people who spend all their time watching TV, we can't help them. I'm sorry to say that, but, you know, they call it TV programming for a reason. The ones that interest me, now that we've talked about the traditional and non-traditional known aircraft, the ones that are interesting me, like I got a video of one of those Merkabas in the sky, the ones that flash and look like they have a Merkaba inside of them.
Right.
Those are being seen all over the planet right now. And there's no way to just, I can't tell you what that was. I can tell you it moved in ways that I've never seen a traditional aircraft, and I know it wasn't a balloon or a Chinese candle or any of that. And they're being seen all over the place. Now, that to me is an unidentified flying object.
Yes. And something else that I find fascinating, we kind of touched on it a little bit last time you were on, the gentleman that was showing the pictures, the infrared pictures of the entities in the sky that looked like amoebas and fish and things like of that nature that could be in our sky at all times, just out of the spectrum of our vision. But these things were amazing. They looked like biological entities, like jellyfish or something, or fish in the sky.
You know, way back when Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, and I mentioned this in the last time we talked, is he wrote a book about when the pilots were first flying the open canopy aircraft, and there being some kind of a man of war high up in the atmosphere that attacked pilots. Doyle was writing a fiction, you know, where would he come up with something like that? And then we have people in the late 90s and early 2000s who were taking photographs in caves. The big one down in Mexico was one of them. And you could see things flying through the air just like they were swimming in water. To me, those are just life forms that are outside of our visual spectrum.
Right.
And we know this. I mean, you've mentioned it. We mentioned it the last time we talked. Our range of vision and hearing and interaction with what's around us is so limited. That, like I said, we could have 10 people standing right next to me right now listening to me talk, and I couldn't see them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's amazing that some people can be so open to it and some people can be so closed. Like one person could be standing there witnessing some paranormal phenomenon or something in the sky, and the person right next to him will never see it. They could point directly to it. You know, it's just the frequency that people can tune into, I imagine.
That's I honest to goodness believe that it has a lot to do with our frequency. You know, there are times when you're really still and you're meditating, you will hear, you will see, can't really explain it. But, you know, that's the reason why natives and tribal people around the world have done the rituals for cleaning and clearing the mind the way they have, is so that they can communicate with others that aren't always visible.
Right. Yeah. And
They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it for tens of thousands of years if it wasn't working.
Yeah, that's another thing to think of all the, you know, all the time, is these ancient rituals that have worked and have been in the public and the main majority of people's consciousness for hundreds and thousands of years, and then it suddenly got repressed because the powers in control wanted to kind of suppress spirituality and consciousness and all these things, and now it seems like it's kind of being opened up a little bit more. I don't know if this is intentional, this, you know, this kind of culture creation wave that we're riding, but I can see the kind of manipulation behind it, so it seems to be intentional to me in many ways.
Well, it's intentional with an inversion. They're trying to point us towards traditional, well, non-traditional, but human-made aircraft to distract people from the things that aren't explainable. You know, that's the modus operandi of these people for as far back as you can actually find in history. They point you to one direction because they don't want you looking at the other.
Oh yeah, that's classic. Go ahead.
They're very good illusionists. Look over here, but don't watch us move this object over here to make it look like magic.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to remind everyone in the audience, if you want to join in the conversation, have any questions for Raven, please leave those in the chat and we will get to those promptly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let's see. Forward 1000 asks, why now? Maybe, like you said, they want to show off their toys. I think there's a lot of reasons for why now.
Well,
I think,
you know,
one of them could be that there's something out of their control that we're going to find out anyway. Or it could
be. That's exactly what I've been.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
Go ahead.
Exactly what I've been thinking. I have to go back to Rudolf Steiner in the early 1900s. He talked about a transition. We were going to transition from a Christ-like non-materialism where spirituality was going to grow. And because of this group of individuals, and it went through Nazi Germany and it came into the, well, it was already in the United States, but we were moving into an Ahriman society where it was materialism, and that includes scientism, by the way. You know, I call that a religion, the scientism. They know that they can't hide stuff right now because of all the changes that are going on. I mean, look at the earth changes that we're experiencing. They know what they still try to obfuscate the information, like certain agencies are hiding earthquakes and volcanic activity. But you can go other places and find the information. You just have to know where to look. And that's what they're counting on, is people don't have the patience to dig, and they weren't taught to dig like we were back in the 70s and 60s. We were taught that if you want the information, you go find it. We used to have to go to the library, open up the books, or chase down somebody who was a professional because you couldn't get them on the internet. And if you wanted to know, you actually had to pursue it. Well, people today are so used to the search engines, which don't give you information. Well, they give you a lot of information, but they don't provide you any knowledge, really. And there is a difference. The search engines are overwhelmed with information, but to try to find knowledge there is pretty much a waste of time.
Definitely.
And so what we've got is we've got all these things that are happening. We've got the geological thing, events that are happening. Like, who would have ever thought we'd see a lake explode? Did you see
right.
that?
Yeah, that's crazy.
I feel so terrible for the people who were there. But who would have ever thought in our lifetimes that you would see a whole lake explode? And we're probably going to see much worse before this is over with, if the historical accounts that have survived are accurate. But they know that, I hate to say this, but in scripture it talks about the time of revealing, which is what that actually means. And every time the cycle comes around, people become aware of what's been deceptively passed off as truth. And of course, then the reset happens and we have to start all over again, and it doesn't matter. But so everything's being revealed now. They've got no choice. They know that it's going to come out one way or the other. So they either control it or try to control it, or people are going to start catching on to the lies.
Yeah, I want to get into what possibly could be happening with our climate, because I think that's going to be one of the next big agendas that they're going to start pushing, is the, you know, the fake climate change agenda, when there's actually something cosmic that could be coming our way that they can't control, and it could cause major cataclysms. But until then, it's distraction and disinformation. But I want to get back to the UFO phenomenon for a minute, because there's a very important aspect to this whole thing that I don't think gets touched on enough, and that is the whole USO, the underwater phenomenon of UFOs, where these vehicles hit the water at incredible speeds. They barely displace the water, and then they're gone. Where mm-hmm. do they go? To the depths of the ocean? What's down there? Do we have underwater bases that we're dealing with? I think there's a whole world right on our planet that we could be exploring when it comes to this ET UFO phenomenon as well, and we don't necessarily have to look towards the stars.
Well, if you go back to the old histories that we've gotten from South America and other places, they say that the people came out of the water, and the drawings that they had them drawn in, they were wearing like scuba gear or pressure suits. The story about Enlil, he was the guardian of the oceans. And then if you look at some of the history, they refer to the abyss. And abyss, if you actually translate it correctly, means the deep oceans, the fathoms. And they refer to these people having been there, came out of there to help after the last cataclysm, and then went back. The people in Peru talk about the ships that come in and out of the lake. And I'm trying to remember the name of the lake. Is it Titicaca? The High Mountain Lake? But anyway, they talk about those ships that go in and out of there all the time. Of course, people sit and watch and don't see them. But the people that live there say they travel in and out of that lake all the time. Now, that's curious.
Definitely.
And then you have the ones that disappear into Mount Shasta, which I've been up there and I've never found an opening that a ship could disappear into. But people see it happen all the time. Back to what we were talking about, the interdimensional aspect of things. It could be that we change our vibration enough that we see these things, but they're right here above us all the time.
Yeah, that could very well be the case. And it makes me think,
I don't think they ever left.
Right. Yeah, they could be here. And also, in the chat, Ricky mentions, hollow earth. Some of these beings could be underground. And on top of that, on a different frequency. So if they're underground and on a different frequency, we'd never know they were around, which is a very interesting thought.
Well, and we're locked into a very narrow band, maybe. But even with our equipment, we can only see a very, very minimal spectrum of light. I go back to what I said, I could have a dozen of them sitting here listening to me right now, and I wouldn't be able to see them. And I think that's the way it is with these UFOs. Now, how they get in and out of the water, you can get to Navy reports from the Pacific during World War II that they saw a craft under the water that was parallel to them. It came up out of the water and shot off at a rate of speed that was unfathomable to them. They did not. We had nothing that could move that. And then you've got Admiral Byrd and his incident down at Antarctica. I'm sorry, but whatever was down there, even if it was German UFOs, it wiped them out, sent right. them back to South America limping. And they were they were described as disc-like and similar to Tic Tacs in some cases.
Yeah, and that's one of those compelling accounts that I don't think is looked at close enough. That's a fascinating story from a very reliable source, and I think that, you know, stories like that, you know, Admiral Board's story needs to be taken a closer look at, as well as some of the other stories through history. But that one, man, like, you're right, it totally decimated his fleet, whether if it was German UFOs or, you know, UFOs in general, reverse engineered, whatever it was enough to send them packing from there. And things like that, exactly. In history, especially, I mean, the whole German UFO connection and the fact that they could have been reverse engineering this technology should be taken a closer look at to begin with.
Well, you know, the Germans were smart. They went to Africa and they talked to the tribes there instead of attacking them. They went to India. They were extremely interested in the Vimana. And then all of a sudden they started trying to engineer liquid mercury. And you look at some of their experiments, they were trying to create anti-gravity. And there was a Belgian researcher, and I believe that Joe Farrell mentioned him. He figured out how to do it with what they had on the bench at the time. Now, if they could do it then, and then they incorporated it into the paperclip program, who knows what we're actually flying around that we can't see right now.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's that era. That whole era is fascinating. All the aspects of the UFO, the occult aspects, and I think that it'd be fascinating to take a really close look at that, you know, sometime with some researchers who have enough information to delve deep into it. You know, now when it comes to
Bill Cooper mentions seeing a USO, and it was harassing the fleet that he was with. And there's a few others in the 70s and 80s that talked about USOs and their innate ability to hit the water at such high rates of speed without disturbing.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
That's the curious part.
Now, did you see the recent story, the most recent UFO story to hit the mainstream news was, you know, a fleet of UFOs surrounding Navy warship. They recently started talking about it and, I guess, released some footage of it. Did you see anything about that?
Well, I saw an article, but I actually haven't had a chance to see the video.
Yeah, it's interesting, but I think it's just another one of those.
Has taken out my internet.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's interesting. I think it's just another one of those new stories to come out to kind of push the agenda. But it seems like the agenda is to paint these things as a threat in some way. That could be building up to another thing, you know, to this whole fake alien thing, this whole fake invasion thing that many people think that we might be headed up against.
That's what we were talking about last time was Von Braun.
Yes, I his final
that.
Warning.
You know, he said it would be a human enemy of nations or regions, and then It would be asteroids, and then it would be UFOs. He said that offhand, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Did I lose you?
I'm still here. You were breaking up for a minute. Yeah, the Wernher von Braun warning is fascinating enough. But, you know, we're seeing all this talk from the mainstream all of a sudden. We had the COVID op, all this other stuff happen, you know, and it's just the timing of it is very suspicious, I'll say, to say the least.
Oh, I would definitely say, well, you know, we can go back in history and look at paintings. I mean, I think you've had guests on that have shown them, but there's other places you can look. There's paintings that go back to the 1600s. And that's when a huge problem was starting to be resolved. But, and then even further back, you see paintings that have UFOs all over the place in them. I can't imagine that the artist would put UFOs in their paintings just because it looked neat. Some of them paintings are classical. And in that time, I don't think they had access to the resources. Like, I mean, they actually had to grind the powder and make their paints and do all the work. Why would you just throw a UFO in there shooting a beam of light down at the ground if you didn't actually see it?
Yeah, that's a good, very good point. John Nelson in the chat brings up a very interesting story. Did you see the fireball that went into the Indonesian volcano, the meteor?
You know, it's really funny because we have seen that exact thing 5 times now.
Really?
I won't say it, but one of the guys on YouTube had a video maybe 7 months ago, right before the eruption in close to Manila in the Philippines. There was a fireball that went in behind the volcano. You couldn't tell if it hit it or it didn't. But within a few days, there was an eruption. I find that curious. And then this one here, that was a hole in one. If you were trying to play golf and hit that shot, I don't see how you could do it. And yes, I did see that footage. It was curious. Let's say it that way.
Right.
It almost put me in mind of Rod of God technology. Yeah. I hate to say that, but.
Yeah, it looked.
I don't know how many people.
Go ahead.
I don't know how many people are familiar with the Rods of God.
Yeah,
but they have long metal rods. Some of them carry an ordnance with them, and they launch them from high altitude, and they just use gravity to drive them into bunkers or whatever. And when I looked at that thing, sparks coming off of it, it looked odd.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if some of these things could be controlled in any way. I don't know. Go ahead.
Ricky, that I've been talking to today, and I'm going to give her a shout out because she is one of the most intelligent and diligent researchers that I've met in a long time. We were talking about the magma moving through the fault lines, and we were talking about things heating up in the Northeast and the volcano off the coast of New York that keeps setting off the tectonic buoy out in the Atlantic. We have all this pressure building up. and you know, this is what you were starting to transition to earlier, is the solar activity and the galactic energy and this and that and the other. But on planet Earth, which is where we're stuck, we have all this pressure building up, and it's not behaving the way it normally would. Yellowstone, about a week ago, I called it hellavision, excuse my language, but that's what it looked like. The whole geyser basin was steaming and spewing and erupting. I have never seen it do that. I mean, I've been up there in the wintertime, and I've never seen that much steam in the air. But then it subsided, and we got heat signatures going across to Ohio into the Northeast. And of course, we've got the volcano going off over in Iceland that I can't pronounce.
Right. Yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
And then we have, Fagradas Fall. Everybody can get a laugh out of me trying to say it. I always use my false denture at the top as an excuse for that. And then we had the African volcano go off right there by the rift. And that was right after they got hit with that X-ray burst. And that's what happened here to me. The last couple of days, we got hit with that X-ray burst from the sun, and the internet and communications were sketchy. But we've got all this pressure building up. And logic would tell you that if they wanted to control where it was going to go off at, you would help things along artificially.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think that we could be seeing a lot of craziness, especially with what's happening cosmically and with the sun. You had mentioned in your email last time about photovoltaic components of the chemtrails that they are spraying. Now, I know that when I spoke with Ben from Suspicious Observers, we talked a little bit about chemtrails and the fact that they Have a good side in a way that they're trying to kind of keep the radiation from being too intense, but also they're retarded to begin with for spraying it. So, you know, it's like a double-edged sword, but you know, you also mentioned that it could be to project imagery into the night sky, right?
Yeah. Well, years ago when we first started getting into this, I started doing research, and there's a company out of California, and their chemical components were exactly the same components that you see in photovoltaic windows. When you add a charge to it, it creates a screen. And I thought, boy, that's really weird. Why would you be spraying that particular composition into the sky? And people say, well, you know, and Ben is really, really smart. You know, 80% of what we see are just turboprop wash. Been that way for years. There's just a lot more airplanes up here. But here's the thing. If you organize your flights in just the right patterns with taking into consideration the prevailing winds, you don't need a whole lot of airplanes spraying to cover a huge region of, say, the United States. You go outside at night, and the trick is to wear blue blockers. You got to have something to screen. But you go outside at night and you look up and the whole sky is just completely whited out. Now, if the whole sky is completely whited out, how is it that I can see stars? And I've asked that question several times. And then I started digging into different types of projection equipment. And I found out that there are a lot, actually, of what look to be like telescopes that actually aren't. They actually have the equipment installed to project. Now, why would you have a telescope converted over to a projector?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's very interesting.
It was a tangential research that I was doing at the time, because I'm thinking, okay, now you're putting up here that works like a photovoltaic window, and then you have the technology to project into that from above or below, by the way. And now what would be the purpose of it? A lot of people have talked about the atmosphere looking like it's lower. You know, I live at 4,000 feet, and when I cook now, I have to cook like I'm at 7,000 feet. And I've noticed the difference. And the reason why I know the difference is because I was out in Colorado at 7,000 feet for many, many years. It's very, very curious. And when that pressure changed, I noticed that people were having trouble breathing, like they were at high altitude. Even athletes that I know were having issues. And it looked like altitude sickness to me. Like, you know, you had to adjust to that difference in pressure and difference in oxygen level.
Right, right.
And that was a couple of years ago, and it's continued. I still have to cook when I'm at 4,000 feet, just under. I still have to cook like I'm at about 6,500, 7,000 feet. That is different. But it would also explain why they have to interfere with the sky the way that they are too.
Yeah, and Star Knight in the chat brings up a good point. The sun is different. I remember when I was growing up, the sun used to look orange, yellow. Now it looks like a white, bright light bulb, basically, just fluorescent light.
And, you know, Ben brings up a very, very good point. When you're observing the moon and you're observing the sun, we have a different electromagnetic spectrum going on right now, both from inside the earth and from the sun. So it's changing the optics. Is it partly because the sun hasn't been as active? That could be, but you know, we had a big heat that came into the solar system, or actually the solar system ran into, and it changed the way the sun was burning. But it also, you know, would change our atmosphere. And they have detected helium at the high altitudes. So that tells you that we're into it too. Visual spectrum is really tricky. You look at something through water and it changes the color of it. You look at it through fog, it changes the color of it. I think that has much more to do with the reason why we're seeing a different visual of the sun and the moon than an actual change in those two objects.
Yeah, that's very interesting. It could be. I'm just very...
Well, and it's good science.
What's that? What'd you say?
I said, and it's good science. You know, it's Occam's razor. You know, you eliminate all the crazy things and you eliminate all the possibilities and you settle on the most logical, rational explanation. Well, when you look at the chemical content of our atmosphere, you look at the change in our electromagnetic bubble that we're in, and then you look at the atmosphere of the solar system, the way it has changed dramatically, you can see that it's most likely the reason why the visual spectrum on the sun and the moon looks so different is because of our own atmospheric changes. And, you know, I would love to say that it was something crazy and something completely insane and that it was a light bulb up there that has to be changed every once in a while. But you have to go back to basic scientific method if you're going to look at things like that.
Right. We're also seeing, you know, other strange electromagnetic anomalies in the sky. Ricky Spence also brings up a good point in the chat, you know, double rainbows, things of that nature, strange light pillars. It's like what the ancients would depict in their petroglyphs, basically.
Yes.
What's happening all over again.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. If you start looking at the petroglyphs and you start looking at what we're seeing in the sky, you know, they had a big plasma burst in India last year, and it looked, not only did it look scary as hell, but it looked exactly like the petroglyphs we see around. It had the sphere at the top, and then it came down and it had like the umbrella pieces that went down. And at the bottom of it, it looked like it was trying to burn through. I can't imagine what would have happened if that would have hit the ground.
I'd be very interested to see what kind of propaganda the media is going to be putting out to kind of offset the major changes that we're going to be seeing, because from what I've told, it could start ramping up very soon. The effects that the solar minimum could possibly be having here on the planet, those controllers and the elites are going to react and show us their version of what's happening with climate change coming up, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, back in the 70s, when they first started doing the ice cores, and I'm sure you've heard about these before, but when they first started doing the ice cores, there was actually a video, a documentary made by the scientists who were doing the ice core research. And the video they made was "The Ice Age is Coming." And immediately the governments, you know, the mind controllers and the media started harping on this global warming thing. It's another example of the inversion of reality these people keep trying to sell the population. The guys who did the ice core studies pointed directly toward the time period that we're in and said, there's an ice age coming. And immediately in the late 80s, that information was buried. And all of a sudden we had global warming then. Now they've changed it to climate change because everybody can tell it's colder. I have no idea why you would be wanting to block out more sunlight when you know that the earth is getting colder, unless you're trying to block out the radiation. We have gamma rays that came in a couple of years ago that actually put the American systems in what they call RadCon 5 condition and kept them that way for about 12 hours. Now, RadCon 5 was designed to detect a nuclear incident. But what happened was we had so much gamma energy coming in from outside the atmosphere that it was setting those detectors off.
Right. That's interesting.
Well, and it may be about interceding with the, say, cosmic rays, for lack of a better description, because you have X-ray, gamma, and you have all kinds of other non-visible energy that comes in. It may be an attempt to offset, you know, we like to think that everybody is just terrible and horrible and they're trying to kill us all, which some of them are. But to offset the X-rays and the gamma, there a photovoltaic window put up in the sky would actually help with that situation.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's a double-edged sword, I'm sure, what they're trying to do. But it's always, you know, for the greater good, and we're never really going to know the true agendas behind anything going on, especially, you know, right now. But it just makes me wonder how much they could possibly slow down the inevitable when it comes to this cosmic changes that are cyclical changes that could have possibly wiped out large portions of the population in the past.
Well, you go 12,600 years ago. We know what happened then. They were so worried that they buried they buried the ruins in Turkey so that they would be there for us to find later. Some people moved underground and survived, apparently. And then 26,000 years ago, if you go back and look at the cycles in the data, and we're there again. Now, can they slow it down long enough to put something in place to try to assure people survive? You know, I don't understand why Elon Musk is putting satellites up in the air, because they're going to be the first things to get hit. unless it's about consolidation of power now before the event happens.
Yeah, you're right. It could be, it could be just a way of prepping everyone, all the elites, getting ready. And I've even heard that they've already got technology to have breakaway civilizations off planet. But, you never know. That could be a whole nother agenda with the Space Force. Who knows?
Well, there are a lot of very, very legitimate researchers that come out and say, hey, there's a breakaway society. But does that have to be off planet? Could be under. Could be underwater.
Yeah, it could be.
Could be underwater. And the reason why I say underwater is we know that water is a natural barrier for radiation. You go deep enough and it's not going to get to you.
Yeah, that's a very good point. They could have, underground and underwater facilities already ready to go. It looks like that with all the agendas that are coming out, COVID isn't working anymore. They've lifted the mask mandates in a lot of states. The whole the jab thing probably isn't as successful as they wanted it to be. So I'm sure that they're going to be moving on to something else. People don't have the same fear output that they have.
The book Dune and the movie Dune both had the same line in it. Fear is the mind killer. If you're in a fight or flight response and you're anxious all the time, you're not able to think. That's the reason why I don't watch TV. I catch clips and bits and people send me information and I look into it, but that fear mongering, I'm way past that. I don't need to watch that. If I want people to lie to me, I can look at C-SPAN for a little while,
Yeah, exactly.
So we're in this solar cycle. Interesting point to bring up is the Eye of Hende, which is in Spain. Somebody spent a lot of money in that time to have that artifact made. And it shows the four gas giants in a square, and it shows the sun. And if you're standing there looking at it, the sun would be spitting at you. You can see the directional of the spit coming out of the sun. Now, we're heading into that, and there's other people who have caught on to this, but in 2024, the four gas giants will be like in a box, more or less. I mean, granted, you have distance between them and the orbits that they make and so forth and so on. But now, why would somebody that far back think to make a relic that would last in an out-of-the-way place that shows that exact symbology that we're about to go into? It starts this year, pretty much 2021, and it's going to go through about 2028 by the time they spread out again. And every year, the four gas giants are going to get closer together, creating a more intense field.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And we have to pass through it every year. Between the sun and them. People look at the sun and they say, oh, the earth-facing side has been very, very quiet for all these years. Well, the gas giants have been on the other side. Every time that we've caught a sunspot or an eruption, we have been, you know, between the sun and Saturn, the sun and Jupiter, the sun and Neptune. And that's the reason why it's only been a few of them in a very short period of time. This year, we pretty much got 6 months before we get past those alignments and in the clear again. And I can't help but to think that as those four gas giants get closer and closer together, their draw on the sun's energy is going to get more and more intense. And we have to pass through that. This year, the end of July, first part of August, we're going to be kind of like in the middle of it. And if you look, now that we've come around that swing and we're starting to get in line with those gas giants, we're starting to get sunspots again, and we're starting to get solar flares and CMEs.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see what comes down the pipe in the next few years. It could be a very dangerous time, especially with the magnetic field, the movement that we're seeing, it's way past the point of no return because it's, you know, it's keeping headed towards Siberia. I forget the rate. It's a very disturbing rate, like, a few miles every
5 miles
couple of weeks.
It was 5 miles in 30 days.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That was insane.
Yeah.
But see, you know, we go back to these cycles, and this is, I mean, we have people who witnessed what looked like man of war floating through the sky. Well, if you look at the sprites that we're seeing now, doesn't that look exactly like what they were describing?
Yeah.
And that was a minor glitch in the 1600s. We're at a full blown cycle at this point. If you look at the historical data that we have both geologically and from the ice cores, it's going to be interesting because the more solar discharge the Earth catches, the hotter the magma gets, the hotter the mantle gets, the more volcanic eruptions we get, the more outgassing we get. And we're already starting to see those effects.
Yeah, we've been seeing them for quite a few years. I think that we're actually lucky that we haven't seen more pop-offs from, you know, volcanoes and major earthquake activity to this point. I think the Earth is just being a little bit more resilient than we give it credit for. But there's only so much that she can take, I think, you know?
Well, and the more of this energy that comes in, you know, like X-rays and gamma, that actually goes in deep. So it's heating the core and it's heating the magma, and we're getting, you know, that rift that opened up in Mexico that people have forgot about, that was 2 years ago. And then last summer, the city of Phoenix got thunderstorm warnings because they had an outgassing from that fault that shot 80,000 feet into the air. It looked like a massive thunderstorm had just appeared out of nowhere. But when you went to satellite, you could see it was volcanic gases. And that rift that opened up in Mexico was huge. It was like 3 miles long. And then we had the earthquake up in Minnesota where the inside of the Madrid zone dropped 6 feet from one earthquake, and it was a minor earthquake. So we're seeing the effects of our magnetosphere or magnetopause not being as strong as it used to be.
Yeah, and it's continuing to weaken, and it's going to get to a point where we're going to start seeing undoubted effects, and the media is going to have to catch up with it by making whatever agenda apparent that they're going to bring forth, and I'm sure their little troll girl Greta Thunberg is going to be a huge part of that as well. But for the
little troll boy,
whatever it is, it's gonna be out there. Now for the
I hate to be that way, but
go ahead. What were you gonna say?
I said I hate to be that way. I hate to be that way, but there are a lot of physiological signs that don't match up with what they're describing.
Yeah, and that's across the board with a lot of these talking heads that they use. You know, it's that's a whole nother show to begin with. It can be confusing, to say the least.
That would be a fun show to have people ask questions about.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, for the last half of the show, I do want to get to some of the aspects of ufology and combining it with the paranormal and occult kind of normalization that we're seeing pushed through the media. I noticed we were seeing it for a while before 2020 in movies and TV shows, you know, Netflix, they're kind of normalizing witchcraft and the occult and things of this nature. And they're still doing it. You know, they're still dripping out movies and stuff. But 2020, we had a little break with Hollywood, I think, with the COVID thing, and everything was more virtual and interactive and online. And that's what everything is kind of heading towards, is this more interactive entertainment where people can, you know, comment and interact with the content creators that are out there now. And I think that Hollywood will eventually, you know, traditional Hollywood will eventually be a thing of the past, and they're going to start pushing these messages through social media and the internet and YouTube and things that we can interact with, and it'll bring like a whole new level of culture creation to whatever they're trying to do with this UFO phenomenon combined with the occult aspects of it, kind of putting it all together into the human psyche. I see that they're bringing it, you know, to the forefront more, all these aspects. And I think that what they're doing with the mainstream UFO thing, kind of painting it as a nuts and bolts threat, while the media is kind of going to this occult route, I think it's kind of bringing it to the psyche of the populace in both aspects, and I think it's going to bring confusion. I think that's the intention of it. What do you think?
Well, you know, we've had this in waves. It's really 1900s. We had all the esotericists and the occultists that came out to visit, Blavatsky and Steiner and Manly Hall, Jung. It was a cycle. There were some of them who were trying to reveal things. There were some of them who were trying to hide or occult it. You know, the word occult just means hidden. You could say that about the Vatican for the last several hundred years, being occultist. And then we had a wave in the 50s after World War II. Then we had another wave in the 70s and 80s where witchcraft and Wicca boards and Ouija boards, magic, you know, all different kinds of magic. And then they created a marketing scheme out of Wicca, but it's been cyclical since the early 1900s. And even into the 1880s and 90s, they started. It seems like it's a 20-year phase that they bring out, and then they push it a little bit harder. Who would have ever thought we'd have seen a series on television, and I watched it, but about a serial killer. And then
there's been a few, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, well, they had the one about Lucifer and made him out to be a really good guy, which if you go back and you read the text, he actually was, but his name wasn't Lucifer. You know, that was a creation much later. But we're seeing this occult alternative. I think it's, again, when you start seeing it out in the public eye and coming from the movie studios and on television, it's about steering people's perspective.
Yeah.
A really good friend of mine, and I consider him a very dear friend, has the Liber Lilith, which is a grimoire. And it talks about Lilith, which in most circles, Lilith is considered a demon, and oh my God, and it's terrible, and it's awful, and her offspring are the Nephilim, and blah, blah, blah. But if you start doing the research, you find out that Lilith was the one who was not the one who was persecuting humanity. So there's that end thing again, and I think that's what we're starting to see in television with the occult and the magic and even Satanism. To an extent, they're trying to drive the narrative, just like with the UFOs, and they're trying to steer people into certain directions. I mean, they took over the New Age movement in the 80s and turned it into a marketing scheme.
Yeah, they certainly did. And I think that that's what a lot of this stuff is, actually, is a marketing scheme, targeting certain people. But we've also got the celebrities channeling aliens now and channeling extraterrestrials and UFOs. So that's a, I think that's another part of it to pump something into the psyche, you know?
Exactly. Well, it's like you're going to the Laughlin conference, and I think people it's available online too, right? People are going to be able to
unfortunately, this one will not be available online. No.
See, that was kind of my hope. I hope people who are out that way can go, and I'm not plugging it. I just know the people that are going to be there, and I have immense respect for the ones that are going to be there. But here's a really good example for UFOs. They say Roswell, New Mexico, right? But that's not true. It's Rose Wells is where it happened. And they took it completely off the map within a year of the time that that event happened.
Wait, really? I've never heard anything about this. No, I did not.
The city was called Rose Wells, not Roswell. And this is one I'd like to talk to Jordan Maxwell about. But anyway, it's Rose Wells, and that's where the incident was. And if you look at the maps today, that place has been completely erased, and it was erased off the maps in the 1950s. But then everything got moved down to Roswell. Now, you want to talk about the ultimate deception. And that was really well done by the military intelligence people at the time.
That is very interesting. What do you think about that? A lot of this UFO and alien activity wasn't really until we started displaying our power with nuclear technology and things of that nature. For me, I think that we've been visited for a long time. I don't think that that was a first for us just because we had nuclear technology, but it could have attracted different types of beings to, you know, different types of beings' attention, you know?
Well, you think about it. If we're splitting atoms the way that they describe it, that is cracking open some space. And if you live here with us, but you exist in a different spectrum, you really do not want that kind of energy disrupting your life. I could see that it would attract attention. I find it interesting that there are many, many reports from many different countries, including France and England and Russia and China, that these UFOs have shut their nuclear ordinances completely off. That to me is very telling that we have two different things going on here. We have the military industrial complex trying to sell us a story and present us with their technology. And then we have somebody completely different that says, hey, your technology is nothing. Watch this. We're just going to shut it off.
Yeah. And it also makes me think, you know, if these things, whatever they are, were really a threat to us and they wanted to destroy humanity, they would have had the opportunity thousands of times over, and they could have done it in the blink of an eye, it seems, with the displays of technology that they've already shown us. So why would now all of a sudden they be a threat, you know?
Well, you go back to Ronald Reagan's speech at the United Nations. I can't quote him, but he basically said if we were threatened.
If there was a threat by an outside invading force from this alien force, it would bring the world together.
It would unite the planet. I think that was planting the seeds that far back.
Definitely. Yeah, I would have to agree. Yeah, I think that they have to plant these seeds for years in advance, and it makes me wonder how much of our reality is scripted and planned in advance. And apparently it's a lot, because I've come across too much evidence recently that so much of our reality is pre-planned and scripted and put into the collective consciousness, just like a little planting of a seed, and they just watch it grow.
Well, and sometimes it's a major planting of the seed. If you go back to the, you know, we were talking about the historical aspects, but if you go back to the Inquisition, that was about collecting texts and wiping out anybody who wouldn't go along with the narrative that they were trying to create. They installed oligarchs that hadn't been in power before, and the people who were wealthy or would have been considered oligarchs at the time that wouldn't go along with them, they just rounded them up and killed them. But in the process, they rewrote those texts, and people can look this up. The name is Petau, P-E-T-A-U, U, and Carliger, Carliger. And what they did is they used two of the Roman orders to rewrite history and install the oligarchs that took over after the Inquisition. And then miraculously, so for, according to the texts that they released, the originals were burnt, and all we have is the rewritten copies. I don't believe that, but so we've got a whole new history from the Inquisition on. Now, what happened before that? We have tribal people who we can go to, like the Zulu and the Dogon and the Aboriginals. But, you know, they rewrote history that far back. Who knows what they're doing now with the technology? I mean, we see things today that they're rewriting constantly.
Yeah, and I think that's a part of why we see the suppression of Native stories and things of that nature. You know, like you were saying, Native Americans, Aboriginals, tribes, that their stories aren't heard often and they're suppressed because it's the truth. It's probably the most accurate history that you're going to get because we've rewritten everything in the modern textbooks, and they probably keep better records through their oral stories than we've keeping through our modern history.
Well, you know, it's not a coincidence that as soon as the Europeans recovered from the cataclysm in the 1100s, I mean, it took them almost 200 years to get up and running again. But when Columbus and those people came over here, they had already invaded India. They had already invaded Africa. And who did they go after? They went after the cultures that survived the cataclysm. Why? Because they would have had histories that were contradictory to what was being taught in Europe. And I can't help but to see that because they went specifically after the cultures, India, China, South America, and Africa. They went specifically after the ones that survived and had historical knowledge. And since all their historical knowledge is counter to what's taught out of the Mediterranean, I would say that the stuff coming out of the Mediterranean is probably not that accurate.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I love to hear the, you know, the native stories and tribal stories, because I think that that's more accurate history than we're ever going to get from our modern history books. And
including UFOs.
Yes, including UFOs. And also, you had mentioned in one of your messages that we were going back and forth with a global culture of possible like Bigfoot beings or dogmen that could have existed, you know, throughout time, and just you know, we're not able to see them, or they're just really good at not being noticed, or they're in that spectrum of vision that we can't quite see, you know.
If you go back in history and you look at some of the stuff that's got through to us, like from Herodotus and others, they talk about the dog soldiers. They looked like canines. Agamemnon actually hired a whole regiment. It cost him a fleet of ships to hire one group for one campaign. That's how vicious these things were. Somehow they were able to project as a group or as an individual, they could project fear before they ever got into combat. Now, can you imagine having that skill? But here's the thing. The group out of the Mediterranean that were a global civilization. Now, we have to be careful where we go. So I'm going to start with Babylon. Babylon, if you translate it literally, means gate of the gods. All right. There's one in Iraq where everybody says Babylon is. But I think that's a misnomer that they put in place to disguise other things, because there's a gate of the gods in Peru. And if you look at those terraced gardens and you look at the water wells and you look at the pools and you look at the amphitheater they have there, and there's a gate of the gods, a Babylon, right there on the hill beside it. I have told people for years that that terrace at Pumapunku is the hanging gardens of Babylon. Why? Because Babylon means gate of the gods. And the people in Peru still call that doorway that doesn't work. We don't have the technology to open it. The gate of the gods. How's that for interesting?
That is very interesting, man.
So yeah. Babylon, as they have altered it, was a global civilization. It was on multiple continents. They traded. I had mentioned to you before that there's Coptic writing found in the mounds from Pennsylvania to Iowa, from Michigan all the way down into Tennessee, there's Coptic writing on clay and copper. The copper from Michigan that we still harvest has been found in Akkadian, Sumerian, Egyptian, Syrian, which is Persia, relics. Now, how did Michigan copper get to the Arab countries?
Right. And you know what's really interesting that I've had thoughts about? You know that on megalithic, some megalithic structures, you know, in Peru, they have them in Egypt, they have them in Japan, these doors that appear to go to nowhere. It makes me think of some kind of portal or stargate that this global type of civilization could have possibly been using in the ancient past to you know, immediately travel. Right, right. You know, it's an interesting thought.
But here's the thing. All of those gates that are there, those doorways, are called the gate of the gods, right, in those places, which means that Babylon was in all those places. The gate of the gods was there.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
There's one here in the Southwest, in the United States. But here's the thing. When you talk about dogmen and Bigfoot, first thing you need to know is that the native people of the United States call Bigfoot Sabe, S-A-B-E or S-A-B-A-E, depending on how you want to spell it. But that's a Mediterranean word. So why would Native Americans here in the United States use a Mediterranean word? Now, I take you back to that global civilization who were traders. They traded copper from Michigan to the Mediterranean. They traded goods from India and China to the Mediterranean. The Suez Canal is not new. They just cleaned it out. People get mad at me for saying that, but it's named after Zeus. All they did was invert the letters, Z-E-U-S. But anyway, so what we had is we had a global culture that was on all the continents. And if you go back to the old history, like Herodotus, for example, and some others, the dog men were mercenaries. I mean, there's many references to them being used even in the Bible. They were mercenaries. They were hired army. And then you have Agamemnon's son, who was supposed to be between 12 and 16 feet tall. And this is depending on how they translate the measurements. But he was covered in hair because his mother's clan were covered in hair. And his skin was hard enough that it would repel arrows. Now, that's interesting. And they were from the Mediterranean. So you have this culture from the Mediterranean that was a global trading organization. Now, what would they need? They would need mercenaries to protect their ships and their mines and their settlements. And they would also need big, strong, strapping people to do the work. When the cataclysm hit in 1100, it took almost 300 years for the Mediterranean and Europe to reset. What would have happened to the dog soldiers and the hairy people that had been inserted around the world in the meantime?
Yeah.
The cryptid researchers get mad at me when I point out that the dogmen and Bigfoot, Sabe, are mentioned in historical texts, even as jumbled up and convoluted as the historical texts have been.
Well, here's an interesting thing.
They're just people.
Yeah, I was speaking with a contactee earlier who claims that, in very compelling stories, he claims that he, in his some of his experiences, he deals with beings with faces of a lion, or cat-looking beings. You know, it makes me think that these beings have been around all along. You know, they may be hybrids with animals, or they may have always looked like that, but there may be these beings that look like dogs and cats and lions and possibly birds, you know? If they have reptilians, why not?
Call a glimmer.
Right. It could be that too. Right. Yeah, exactly.
But the whole point is they had some ability to generate fear in people. And that was one of the reasons why they were such desired mercenaries and cost so much to hire. It's not that they're not in the historical account. It's just that people who want to research cryptids refuse to look at history. Either that or they just don't know it's there. Most people haven't read like I have. You know, I have seen Bigfoot. People look at me like I'm crazy. But around here, we've been talking about them since 2016 because all of a sudden we started seeing them again. You know, you'd see them off the side of the road, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I really think we need to take a whole new fresh look at the Bigfoot phenomenon because we got too many old stigmas stuck to it and it doesn't fit anymore. It's become too strange and out of the ordinary that I don't think it's just your typical wild man. I think there's something more to it.
Well, and there's this confusion too. A lot of people assume it's the Bigfoot or the dogmen that are causing disappearances in the forests and the woods. But tribal knowledge says, no. Bigfoot are people just like any other. Dogmen are people like any other. And if they try to scare you, it's because they don't want you interfering with them. Just leave them alone.
That's interesting.
But the things that make people disappear are not the same. I'll give you a really good example. I was on break having a cigarette down by the creek, and I saw a reflection in my glasses. And it looked like, I'll just say it the way I said it then. It looked like a really hot chick wearing a silver outfit, you know, a jogging outfit, coming down the trail. And it's not unusual for people to jog on that trail. And I thought, well, I'll just turn around and have a look at her. So I figured if she's dressed like that, she's going to be somebody to look at. When I turned around, there was nobody there.
Wow.
I thought, now, wait a second. So I just stood there and I stared and I stared and I stared. And other people are going to relate to this. Finally, I saw a little glimmer. It looked like a human shaped outline. But it reminded me of the Predator.
Yeah.
You know, the Predator movies? Because you could see the glimmer, but you couldn't see what was in the glimmer other than the outline, and only if it moved against the background behind it. I locked onto that one, and that one moved out into the sunlight, and I lost it where I didn't have anything to track it with. I tell you what scared me. What scared me was there was two of them within about 15 feet of me that I did not see until they moved. And I've seen other people reporting stuff like this now. There was somebody who had wrote into Dave Politis and had talked about this.
Yeah.
And I've had other people who have been hunting up here in the mountains who have mentioned they saw a glimmer. It looked like an outline of a person, but then it froze solid when they spotted it. For me, the one that I saw coming at me down the trail didn't bother me. It was the two that were so close that I didn't see.
this kind of stuff
is happening. You know, we were talking about strange. Are those aliens, or are they military people in some kind of new camo?
Yeah.
Or are these extra dimensionals that are just checking us out?
Yeah, that's very fascinating to think about what that could possibly be. It could be all of those things or none of those things. You know, who knows?
Exactly.
The fact that
they
have the technology
to
do that.
But I cannot tell you what it was.
Yeah, the fact that they would have the technology to do that, whether it's our military or some advanced beings, that's kind of terrifying to begin with. But, you know, you would think that with all the advanced technologies that we've seen kind of if these beings have them, I'm wondering what the actual interest in our human race is, other than are we just an experiment for these guys that has always been an experiment for these guys and they just kind of check up on us, or are we dealing with different beings?
I want to know what three of them were doing standing there watching me smoke a cigarette.
Right. Yeah. And it could be, you know, like you said, just advanced humans. I did. There's a researcher that I have on quite often, Jared Murphy, that believes, you know, that it may not necessarily be aliens, that it could be just an advanced breakaway civilization from our ancient past that comes back around to check on us. They have this advanced technology, cloaking technology, you know, advanced flight technology, knowledge of the stars, and they're able to pop it back into our timeline or reality and see how we're doing. Could be
well, you know, it's funny how you and I talk in circles. You know, that's an old native thing, is talking in spirals. But, you know, you go back to the Vimana. When they describe the Vimana, they could vanish right before your eyes and then reappear 100 miles away. The people who were in the Vimana could do the same thing. Now, what if those people from 26 or 56,000 years ago didn't leave? They would be even more advanced now.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's an interesting thought, you know, that these could be us, you know, just time travelers, or, you know, I don't even want to say time travelers because I don't think time exists as we perceive it either. But that's a very, very interesting thought.
Well, you know, and that's where you have to be. You have to think things through. For me, if they were here and they just left, it didn't say that they went anywhere. It just said that they were no longer among men. Well, that could be at the bottom of the ocean, or it could just be in a slightly different frequency that we're not aware of.
Yes, it very well could be. I'm very interested to see where the collective is going to go, because within 2 years, you look back at 2019, and I say this a lot, if you were in a coma from 2019 to, and you woke up now, say you woke up in the middle of the mask, where the mask mania was everywhere. You would think you're living in a different world. You know, you're like, where am I, in an alternate reality? It's getting a little bit back to normal now, but now we have mask culture, is what they're calling it. The people who refuse to put away the masks just because they think it's a new fashion trend or something. But not only that, we still got the people who are terrified and wearing the mask, and that's the ones that I feel just sorry for. You know, I think that they need some. Yeah, they need to really wake up, and they're the ones that are going to cause the problems for us. I think they're the ones that are going to be the zombies in the future. They're the ones that are going to panic when the shit hits the fan and they don't know what the hell's really going on. And I see so many of them still walking around in the stores, just wearing their mask out of fear. And the media and our government did a great job of indoctrinating. What's that?
I call them zombie TV addicts. They watch TV so much that they become zombies. But, you know, here's the thing with this. Okay, let's go back to the toilet paper fiasco. MSM ran an article, showed what looked like a staged event, somebody stealing toilet paper out of a truck, and they made a big deal out of it. Everybody who watched TV panicked, went and bought 10 bundles of toilet paper, and then complained because there wasn't any. So they just ran the same con game again out here on the East Coast. Oh, my goodness, the pipeline's down. The gas is going to be terrible. The people who watch TV panicked.
Yep.
They went and filled up every vehicle they drive, and some they don't. Filled up gas cans. And guess what?
Filled up a gas shortage. Filled up plastic bags and shit, too.
Yeah, that was insane. That was insane. They didn't even know plastic bags wouldn't hold gas. We're in bad shape, brother.
Yeah, just put it in the trunk. It'll be fine.
Yep. But, you know, here's the thing. Not only were they successful in creating a toilet paper panic, but they created a gas panic. And the shortages were the result of the zombie TV addicts' fear. They have figured out a very, very systematic process by which they can pretty much create whatever they want, and it's only the TV addicts that do it.
Yeah, that's why I'm kind of terrified to see if this climate change is going to be the next agenda, how people are going to react to that. You know, we're going to have possibly major events happening, like real events, not a fake, you know, pseudo pandemic type thing where, you know, at first you think that people are going to drop dead in the streets and then nothing happens. I think that people, you know, with our, especially with these cosmic changes that we're seeing, we will see some major events happen with climate change, but it's not going to be because of carbon emissions or cow farts or anything that we're doing. It's going to be completely out of our control, and they're going to spin it. So I think that's going to be very interesting to see what happens with that.
The volcanoes are going to cool the planet. You know, we've been really lucky in the northern hemisphere because most of the volcanoes that have been going off have been south enough that they don't hit the equator. So they don't get the ash and the gases don't get drawn up into the northern hemisphere. We're not lucky like that now. We've had all those going off on the Aleutian Islands and in Russia. The big one over in Indonesia that went off, that one actually got pulled up into the northern hemisphere because of the prevailing winds. So all that early snow and all the, I mean, frozen sugarcane in South Africa that never freezes, Brazilian waterfalls frozen in June. I mean, the southern hemisphere has been taking a beating from this. And just this last year, last fall, which would be, you know, summer for them, but just this last year, we've started seeing the effects in the northern hemisphere. Look at these snows in Japan and the late snows in Europe, snow in Wisconsin this weekend. The northern hemisphere is starting to catch the ash and the gases from these volcanoes. And we're cold. I mean, last year I lost about 22 days of growing time between frosts. I can't imagine what it's going to be like this year.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have to keep a close eye on what's happening, especially whenever the media tells you something, you got to pay attention to it, but know that it's not for the reasons that they're telling you. Go ahead.
The dust in the atmosphere, it creates static. I don't know if you've ever ran a sandblaster, but you have to keep yourself grounded. You actually wear a ground wire when you run a sandblaster. And the reason why you do it is because you'll build up a static charge and it can kill you. Well, you add all of this dust into the air, you're going to create more static. The other thing that you're going to create is much larger hail. What have we been seeing? Much more powerful lightning. And we've been seeing hailstones that have literally turned cars into Swiss cheese.
Yeah, I've actually seen some hail around here lately. That was pretty crazy. And we're going to continue.
They had some hail somewhere. They had some hail somewhere out your way yesterday that it looked like snow. There was so much hail on the ground, it looked like about 5 inches of snow.
Yeah, it makes me want to get back to kind of reporting these earth changes like I used to do on a daily basis. I wish I had the time to do that because I know things are going to start picking up here, and it's going to be very very critical to pay attention to this stuff. But
well,
before
thing about it is,
yeah, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just going to say before we close out tonight, we got a few minutes left. I know that, you know, not everyone is going to be able to go off the grid, get their own seeds and start growing their own food and doing all these things that we recommend people to do during times like this. But, I mean, you've really got to try and be as self-sufficient as you can, I believe, during these times, because that is probably going to be the best way for survival, is to be as self-sufficient as possible in the next coming years, you know?
Well, you know, I grew up on a farm. I know how to weld. I know how to grow food. I know how to get rid of varmints. I know how to build generators. I know how to dig down and grow in the ground. I mean, the skills that I got coming up in the 60s and 70s are going to come in very useful. And I've told people, I said, look, you want to survive what's coming? I don't know if we're, but probably the smartest thing you can do is make sure that I'm fine, because I grew up in a time when electricity was off for 2 and 3 weeks at a time. Snow sometimes was as high as your front porch. You had to go out your upstairs window and shovel it out. If this thing lasts more than a couple of years, I got no idea how we're going to do this, Chris. I'm going to be honest with people. If we got 7 years of these gas giants being in a cluster, which means we're going to get slammed by the sun every time we go through there. Every time it does that, we're going to have more volcanoes, more earthquakes. It's going to get colder because of the magnetosphere and the volcanoes going off blocking the sun. We could actually be looking at a deep set, long lasting ice age. That's what happened the last time. And if that happens, I'm not going to live long enough to get out the other side of it. I'm too old already. You know, I'm a realist. It's like I was saying the last time we ended our conversation, people need to live for today. Spend time with your family, encourage your kids, do what you can to try to make things better. Learn as much as you can. If you're going to watch YouTube, these videos are great because we're going to give you information. But why not learn how to make your own tools, grow your own food, dig down into the ground and build your own greenhouse using the earth's warmth. You know, learn skills. You can. You know, get a solar panel. It'll help for a while. But if this thing lasts as long as the last one, at 12,000 years, I don't know. I'm not going to live long enough to see the other side of it. I'm too old already. And I know that's not encouraging, but the encouraging part is we only have today anyway. I mean, I could step outside tomorrow and have an airplane fall on me or you know, we got bears around here. We have today. That's what we're supposed to do. Today is the day we're given. And it's not got a religious incantation to it or anything. Today is the day that we're promised, and we may not see the end of it. So you do what you can now. I mean, that's as positive as you can make your life. Do the best you can now and do as much as you can now.
Yep, very well said. I agree 100%. You got to make the best of each day, especially right now. But man, I'm going to keep paying attention to all the craziness happening. And of course, I'd love to have you back on sometime soon in the future to keep discussing this stuff.
It'd be fun. You know, George Carlin said that he was going to make popcorn and sit in the front row seat. Well,
yeah.
Here we are. I think we better start making popcorn.
Yeah, he's probably got those batches in heaven just sitting there watching the show go by, laughing his ass off.
He might be one of the guys running around in the silver suits.
Hey, he could be. You never know. That'd be great. Well, Raven, thank you,
Chris,
so much for coming
great.
On. Yeah.
You know, I encourage everybody to keep an eye on you because you talk to people who have information that is counter to the spin that the MSM's putting out. And it's really important to try to expand as much as possible. Speaking of UFOs, I have a blinker going right past me right now, and it is not an airplane.
Oh,
how's
sweet.
That for interesting?
Yeah, they're watching us right now. I hope they enjoyed
the
broadcast.
I've got one of those. I've got one of those Merkaba-looking things that is literally coming over the mountain right now in front of me.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, I'm sitting outside.
Huh.
That is a trip. I've never seen one move like it. There you go. Somebody's listening to us.
Yeah. Let them know that I said hello and stop by my place sometime.
Well, I mean, they never stop by here, but I get to see them fly around the mountains a lot. But we got a lot of geodes here, and I think that has a lot to do with it.
Man, that's interesting. That's cool.
The electromagnetic charge in the mountains.
Yeah.
Chris, I appreciate your time, and I appreciate everybody listening in. And hopefully next time we get on, we'll be able to take some questions and actually have some fun with the people asking questions in the chat room.
Oh yeah, definitely so. Yeah, we got carried away in our conversation, but we'll make time for the audience next time. Definitely, Raven. Thank you so much for coming on. And until next time, everyone, have an excellent evening.